I mean, we can look at Israel, we can look at the Middle East, we all say, well, that's the signs of the times. Let me tell you, there's some other signs of the times. The signs of the times are the things that happen in your city. It's a sign that there needs to be a move of God. It's a sign that God is ready to move, but we don't want to miss His movement. We don't want to miss the moment that Jesus shows up or wants to move in a city, but yet nobody can see Him. Nobody prepares for Him. Everybody stops worshiping because somebody's offended that you're worshiping. It's time to allow our moment to be the moment that Jesus begins to transform a city. Don't you think it's time? You think about time? We keep talking about the charismatic movement that hit this city. I talked with someone last night who was there. I'm tired of them talking about, well, there was a day in Madison when the Holy Ghost moved. There was a day when people were getting saved and changed. I want to tell you, I guarantee you there's been other times Jesus has rode through town. And it's not that Jesus doesn't want to bring revival. We've missed it. We've missed Him. Why? Because somebody has squelched the worship of someone else and said, restrain yourself. You ain't going to be able to take care of the whole city. You ain't going to be able to do all of this. It'll take more than just your church. It'll take, you don't have the money. You don't have this. And Jesus really isn't the answer. They need more psychologists. They need better housing. No, they don't. They need an encounter with the Holy Ghost of God and sets them free. That changes them. Alcoholism, drug addiction, all those things can be changed in a moment. You know how I know? You know how I know? Because it happened to me. And the same blood and the same cross and the same Jesus that saved me can save them and touch them just like that. But we don't believe that. We don't believe that. Because we're too busy blessing their hearts. All right. But the signs of the times can be the way that young people are behaving in your city, the corruption that's going on in the people, the deaths that loom over the city, the lives that are being cost and cast and thrown away, the value of life that's being thrown aside. Who would ever think today that 7 and 8 year old boys are learning how to administer medicine in case their mom and dads overdose on drugs. They're teaching them how to induce Narcan so their moms and dads don't die on them. And what kind of kid deserves the pressure of whether or not in his hands, whether or not his mom and dad live? What kid deserves that? Jesus came into the city. I got a couple minutes. No, y'all hearing me? Jesus is riding in the city. He's humbly coming. He's coming. He's riding. And he's riding on the donkey. There's going to be a generation that's untied. Now, whether it's ours or someone else's, there's going to be a generation. There's going to be a generation that Jesus rides into the city on. There will be a generation that'll come. Because, listen, revival sovereign. Revival moves the heart of God. People move the heart of God. I'm getting hot. I feel like I'm going to pass out. Verse 41, now he drew near. Verse 41, now he drew near and he saw the city and he wept over it. Y'all hearing me? He wept over the city. He wept over the city of Jerusalem. He wept over the city. He wept over the city. There's only two recorded places where Jesus wept. And we mispreach it all the time. Preachers, I've done it. We've all preached it wrong. It's wrong. Y'all remember when Jesus came and Lazarus died? The Bible says that right before he was raising him from the dead, it said that Jesus wept. Now, I know Jesus loved Lazarus, and I know that he was friends with Lazarus, and I know Jesus had a human body, and I know he felt for him. I don't believe that's what made Jesus cry. Because what did Jesus know that they didn't know? He knew Lazarus was coming forth. They didn't know he was coming forth. Jesus knew that he didn't have to be there. He knew Jesus. Do you know why Jesus delayed? Let me tell you why he delayed. He was looking for somebody that had the faith to lay hands on him and for him to come alive. He was looking for somebody with the faith to stand with Lazarus. He was just looking for somebody who would be desperate enough to do something before he got there. And I believe what he wept over wasn't just that Lazarus was dead. I'm sure that he loved Lazarus, but I believe he wept because the unbelief that surrounded him when he about brought Lazarus out. You know why? Because you know how I know that? Because I know, I probably shouldn't say this, but I know that people don't come to church to be healed all the time. Some people come to church to find sympathy for their plots. Because they're not looking for healing, they're looking for sympathy. They're looking for somebody to align with their grief and align with their plight. Because they know that as long as they're sick, they have advantage over people. They know that as long as they're mentally messed up, they can use it as an excuse to get what they want. They can manipulate to get whatever they want to get out of life. Well, as long as they remain sick, they don't come here to get healed. They come here because they're looking for sympathy from the church. Okay. No, I said it. I said it. Be mad. I said it. You come in here looking for people to alliance with you, to smooth over your mental illness and to smooth over what somebody did to you 25 years ago, sitting on the pew talking about what happened 20 years ago. God already forgot that. God's trying to get you into a new day, but you don't want to move there because if you move there, it means you've got to change. Oh, see, y'all don't like that. That's all right, I'll preach it anyway. I'm not scared. I ain't scared. So they're sick for 30 years. They walk around moping, always got mental problems. Everybody else's fault why they're sick. Everybody else's fault why they can't get up on life. Everybody else's fault because they ain't got where they should be because somebody's stealing it from them. Somebody's taking it from them. And they're looking for alliances. I'm telling you, Jesus wept. Because he looked around where Lazarus was, and every one of them had unbelief. Mary and Martha both. Can you believe it? Well, Jesus, if you'd have been here. Well, Pastor, it was a good service, but I'm still depressed. No, I'm not making light of it, because those are serious issues. But I'm here to tell you that we have to participate in our own deliverance. Y'all ain't hearing me. I said we participate in our own deliverance. You won't get deliverance if you don't want deliverance. Because Jesus don't violate you. That's what the devil did. Now the devil violated you. That's why you like you are. But the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He'll never come and do what you don't ask him to come and do. Well, I want the Lord to touch me. No, you don't. We want revival. Is that right? You want revival. But you can't come on a Thursday night. You want revival, though. I'll say God's getting ready to have revival, and on Sunday morning they're all shouting because God's getting ready to move. But you ain't seen them on a Thursday night in 15 years. Amen. They won't come when you got a guest. Oh, my God, I don't even know how I even got here. But I'm here to tell you, we say we want something, we say we want this, we say we want that. God's looking for some people that are not going to be ashamed of it, say what they mean, do what they say, stand in the gap for a generation and go after God and say, we are going to go until you move. Holy Ghost. Unbelief, 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 unbelief. Jesus wept. And he wept over the city. And I'll tell you why he wept over the city. He wept over the city because the city didn't have discernment. See, Bethany didn't have... They were full of unbelief is what Bethany was full of. Unbelief. But Jerusalem was full of lack of discernment. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the Son of God showed up. And they had hundreds and hundreds of years of prophecy, hundreds and hundreds of years of description of who he was. They were looking. The time was right. They knew. And he came in and did everything the scripture, the Torah, said that he would do. He became everything that said. And yet they did not see who he was. They were unable to discern him. And when those that did discern him, they squashed their worship. And I want to tell you, I'm not being negative, y'all. I'm just telling you. I don't know if some... I don't know if some of us would know Jesus was here or not. And I'll just be honest with you. I don't know if some of you care if he's here or not. I'm not being mean. I love you. I love you. I want more. I just want. Is it all right to go after more? Is it all right? I'm loving on you. I'm telling you, there's more. There's more than just three songs and announcements and the offering and a pat on a good little sermon, a long sermon, whatever I preach and send you out of here. I mean, and you know, it's me getting red-faced and sweating like a stuck hog and about passing out. There's more to it than that. I believe when Jesus is in the house, demons will manifest. Ain't had one of them around in a while. Oh, they're around, they just ain't manifested. Oh, they're around. Oh, yeah, they're around. Yeah, some of them sit next to you on Sunday. Yeah, they do. That's all right. One day they will. And if it's by you, you better find out how to deal with it. See, y'all, how y'all like, boy, I'm going to sit next to the preacher's wife. She can't have a demon. I'm going to find me somebody on staff to sit by. I'm going to sit by the council. I know they ain't going to manifest. If I see five or six people sitting by themselves on Sunday, I know who y'all think got demons. I don't know why Lucy's sitting by herself. She just wanted to sit over there. Oh, my God. All right, here's where I wanted us to get. I want you to look at a couple of verses, and I'm going to bring it home. Y'all ready to land this thing? Let's land it. Let's land it. And when he drew near, verse 41, he saw the city and wept over it. If you had known, even especially in your day, the things that would have made you for peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. In other words, if you'd have recognized it, it'd have brought peace. What are we praying for today? The Bible, what does it say? It says, pray for what? The peace of Jerusalem. Y'all realize that the peace, Prince of Peace, came through the city of Jerusalem? For days will come upon you when your enemies... Now listen to this, verse 43, 44. This is where we are. If we miss Jesus, this is what happens. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave you in one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss the time of my visitation. Whew. Let me just tell you this. Our culture is pressing in on us, and we've become way too busy. We've become way too busy. And I want to tell you, half of what you're dealing with can get free if you just get in the presence of God. Half of what you're dealing with, you just get in the presence of God, will break off of you. Amen. But our culture is pressing in. And I don't want you to take this wrong, but I'm just going to be real. Is that all right? I don't want you to take it wrong. But our culture pulls us in every other way but towards God. I understand. People want to be in music. People want to be in sports. People want to be in clubs. I don't mean nightclubs. Clubs, boys, you know what I mean. I don't knock nightclubs. And I understand those things are good. They're in their place. And they're for a place. But you keep missing your moments with God. Listen, we talk about how we want values in our children and values in our kids. But yet, if they're never around the house of God, how are they going to know what prayer is? How are they going to know what communion is? How are they going to know what baptism is? How are they going to know what the Word of God is? How are they going to know what salvation is? They can hit a baseball, but they can't pray. Amen. They can play the flute, but they have no idea the authority of the Word of God that can be in their life. Okay. They don't know what communion is. And what's happened is church has become optional. And we've become committed to everything else but God. And time is collapsing. Now listen, I'm not one to manipulate people to be in church. But what happens is, look what it said. Our enemies will surround us and encamp around us. I'm telling you, you look at this city, the enemy is set up around us. He is on every corner. He has laid his stake. There are people dying in this city every day. 3,000 people go to the church in a city that has 14,000 people. How many know there's room for God to work inside a city? How many know that we're being surrounded by our enemy? How many know the devil's mocking at us? The devil's looking at us and saying, there ain't nobody got any power around. There ain't nobody standing for nothing. And then it said this. Then it said, look at the consequences. What did it say? The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, enclose you in on every side. And it says, and it will level you and your children within you to the ground. Let me tell you, when one generation is not faithful to God, you know what suffers? It's not the generation that's unfaithful. It's the generation that comes after them. It's the next generation. It's the next generation that suffers. It's the next generation. Listen, I know. And what did it say? Everything that you build will be leveled. Everything that you build will be leveled. What you build. We keep letting moments pass by. We keep letting Jesus pass by and click. Listen, the world is building a system around our children and the next generation. The world is creating, listen, and everything around us is falling. Would you not say that our education system's falling? Our healthcare system's falling? Our criminal system is falling? Our economic systems are falling? All while the church has been asleep. Now remember, I read a scripture to you, and I'm closing with this. I read a scripture to you the last couple Sundays that says that the enemy has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. Y'all know that, right? Now, how do we combat that? It said that when Jesus rode into town, and when he came to Jerusalem, where'd he go first? He went to the temple, didn't he? He went to the church. You know, Peter said something like this. He said, judgment has to begin in the house of the Lord. Jesus shows up, and when he gets there, there's money changers, right? They're thieving. And it wasn't that they were selling in the church, okay? Look, it's okay to have coffee and breakfast, fundraisers. That's not what that scripture is talking about. They were corruptly cheating the people. They were passing something off as pure that was not pure. They were cheating the people. They were misrepresenting the people. And he said, what did he do? He turned over the money changers. And the Bible said, Jesus said, my house is not a den of thieves, right? How many know the devil comes to church to steal, to kill, and destroy? He turned over the money changers. They were Pharisees. And he said, my house shall be a house of prayer. And when he did that, when he drove out the thief, one translation says, one gospel says, that they brought those who were blind and those who were withered and those who were sick to him. And the scripture says, he healed them all. Woo! Hey! I'm not saying y'all money changers. But what I'm saying is, if we don't miss his visitation and we drive the things out of our lives that have been stealing from us and taking from us, and if we come in like the disciples with praise and worship and begin to worship him, all of a sudden Jesus can move in the house and miracles can begin and can start, and all of a sudden God can move like we've always wanted him to move. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand with me, Adam. Go to the whatever you go to. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not missing his visitation, y'all. I'm telling you, come on, I'm going to be the donkey he rides on. Amen. Untie me now, Lord. Untie me now. Whew. Come on, how many know it's time? How many know it's time for the church to be the church? How many know it's time for the fire to come back into the church? How many of y'all had it when you growing up, you had a curfew? Y'all had a curfew? You know where that term comes from? You know where it comes from? You know where the term curfew came from? It came from the French. And in France, back in the old days, the churches were used to tell what time it was. Because curfew meant the fire's out. That's what it means. Curfew, the fire's out. And so what they used to do in the old churches is that when it was the first hour of the day, which would be the first 3 hours of the day from 6 a.m. to 9, they would light a fire on top of the church. And you would know it was the first hour of the day. The second hour of the day, they would light another flame. And they would do that all day long until the day was over, and then the fire would go out. And they did it in churches. And what happened was, people would look to the church and would look at the fire and could tell what time it was. But when curfew came, or when the end of day came, the fire went out. I'm here to tell you, there's a curfew that's coming. There's a day that Jesus is going to return and the fire goes out. It ain't even going to be available. I was in a restaurant today. I was sitting there and the man struck up a conversation with me. And he was sharing me his political views. I didn't really care. He just talking. Tell me how much he hated this and hated that. And then he says to me, he says, what do you do for a living? After he puked up all over the place, waiting to get his cheeseburger, whatever he's getting. I said, I'm glad you asked. I said, I am a pastor. And I pastor the greatest church in this city. He said, you do? Oh. He said, oh. Oh. I said, yeah. I pastor River Valley Community Church. I said, it's the greatest place I've ever pastored. He said, I hate Christians. No, I'm telling you. He says, I hate Christians. I don't like Christians. He said, matter of fact, this world would be a lot better if Christians were gone. No, I'm telling you, this is what he said. I won't tell you what shirt label he had on. I won't tell you where he worked, but to protect the innocent. I don't want to come back and beat me up because I told y'all the story. He said, you know, if these Christians were gone, this world would be a lot better place. I said, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I said, but guess what? I said, you know what? You're going to get what you wish for. He said, what? I said, yeah, you're going to get what you wish for. I said, because in 1 Thessalonians, it tells us in the Bible, it says that the Lord Himself, with the shout of the archangel, shall descend, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the air. And we be gone. I said, guess what? It's coming. You're going to get your wish. We're going to be out of here. There's coming a day. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Matter of fact, I'm ready. It's coming. It's coming. But I want to tell you something, y'all. It won't be 1 month after we've been lifted out of here. They'd be wishing we were here. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? The Bible said that when Enoch was taken and was translated, it said they looked for him but could not find him. And I don't know what lie they'll have on CNN. I don't know what lie they'll have on MSNBC about what happened to us and what happened to the people. And at first, they'll be glad we're gone. But the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, or 3 and 4, it says, all hell will be unloosed on the earth, and the wrath of God will begin to be poured out upon the earth. And the judgment of God will begin to pour out upon the mankind. And Revelation says they will be running to the hills, to the mountains. They will be falling on the sword to find relief. Jesus is coming. And he keeps riding by on a donkey. We left cordially. It wasn't mean-spirited. I told him I'd pray for you. He said, no thanks. I said, that's all right. It's all right. He wasn't mean. He just blinded. Like you were. Whew. Until the day. I said until the day. We are. We're going to pray for him. But people would look to the church to look at the fire to see what time it was. I wish people would drive by this church. Be able to know that we're in the last days by the fire that's being poured out on God's people in this house. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for revival. I've got kids that need God. I'm someday going to have grandchildren that need God. Listen to me. Listen to me. The world is pulling them every place in the world. The world is pulling them. Music's pulling them. Culture's pulling them. They need to be in the house of God. If you're part of this church, you need to be in the house of God. You need to be in the house of God. I'm not manipulating you to get you here. I'm telling you, we're living in the last days. Jesus is going to pass by. And the enemy has encamped. And everything around us is falling. It's time for the church to rise up. Would you do something for me tonight? Can we pray for Easter Sunday morning? Just pray that the Holy Spirit would fall and men would get saved. Let's pray for that man that I met today. Let's pray for. See, he doesn't realize that I'm here tonight and there's 100 people that are praying for him. He did the wrong thing when he said, what do you do for a living? Right? And when he said, I hate Christians. I don't like Christians. The world would be a better place without Christians. He don't believe that. He just doesn't know he doesn't believe that. Lord, touch my friend today. I call him my friend because I know someday, Lord, you're going to bring him to an altar. And when he gets saved, he's going to be looking for me. He's going to come tell me. Who knows, he may even walk into this church. I told him the address on purpose. Because I wanted him to be able to find me when you save him. Lord, his heart's no different than ours was. And we just pray the Holy Spirit of God would touch him and convict him right now. That he would turn to God. This Easter, I pray that he won't even be able to sleep Saturday night. He'll have to get up and go to church somewhere. That he'll fall in love with Jesus and fall in love with the church just like I have. I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would touch him. Untie him, God, so you can ride him into the city. Untie us, Lord. Let us be like the disciples when Jesus rides in the town, that nothing will hinder our worship. We won't let the Pharisees kill us. We won't let the Pharisees keep us from worshiping him. There's always going to be praise on our lips. There's always going to be worship in our mouth. Lord, we pray for this Easter Sunday. We know that families are going to be here and people that are going to be here that normally don't come to church. It's all right. We're going to love them anyway. But I pray for their salvation. I pray that this Sunday will be a moment in their life that changes them. I remember my first Easter after I got saved. When I got saved in March, the first week of April was Easter. I never felt like I felt on that Easter Sunday when I had the realization of how awesome you are and the forgiveness of sin that came into my life and the freedom that I now enjoyed. I did not know it on the other side of salvation, but I know it now. And I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for salvation. I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. Lord, we love our city. We're tired of our young people dying. We're tired of our city being full of corruption, Lord. We just pray, God, that you'll use us where you have us and you can ride us into the city. I pray, God, that everything that's connected in our region will begin to rise up. The healthcare system will rise. The criminal system will rise. And that God, that the education system will rise. And that businesses will rise. And that people will rise. And healing will come. And deliverances and freedom. And let the fire be lit. And never go out. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Now, would you just take a moment and pray in the Spirit? Would you just speak in the presence? Would you just speak in tongues for just a moment? We thank you, Father. Come on, just pray in the Spirit for just a moment. Hallelujah. Let revival come, Lord. Let revival come. Let revival come. Let revival come. We don't want to miss your visitation, Lord. We don't want to miss your visitation. We don't want to miss your visitation. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Father, thank you. May your word be living. May it encourage us. Lord, we pray for Sunday morning. We pray, Lord, that as we celebrate this Easter Sunday, that there be a spirit of liberty in the house, that there be a freedom that comes upon your people this Sunday as we celebrate his resurrection. I thank you for those that are here tonight. I pray, Lord, they've been encouraged by the word and strengthened by your word. Thank you, Lord, for faith. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for the people of this church. Thank you, Lord, for family. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have given us. We now pray, God, that as we leave, you'll bless us and watch over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you give the Lord a clap offering? Hallelujah. You know, as you